Hi, everyone, and welcome to Advisor Edge, the GVA Way, a podcast series created for financial advisors navigating the complexities of transitioning from a traditional firm or considering branching out independently for the first time. This podcast will deliver clarity and expertise by answering common questions and guiding you through the services and support GVA provides during the transition process. From establishing your brand to building a client base and managing compliance, we'll provide the insights and resources you need to thrive in your new venture. GVA is a full-service, technology-driven RIA. We are 170 advisors strong across 18 states. We provide asset management, compliance, billing, compensation, insurance, brokerage, 401k services, technology, and more to our advisors. And everything we do is scalable for us and you as we place technology in the forefront. Perhaps what we hold to the highest regard is our dedication to the end user, our clients. We like to say we are a family of like-minded individuals who hold our clients' financial interests above our own. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the GVA Way. I'm James Spinelli, the founder and CEO of Great Valley Advisor Group. We have Ben Haas, wealth manager at Haas Financial Group, joining us to talk about financial planning and behavioral finance.
Yeah, fun topic.
Fun topic. So Ben, thanks for coming to Berwyn. Obviously, we have the new office location now, so a little bit of a curveball for you when you first showed up.
All good,
right? And so before we get started and we talk about the behavioral finance, the human side of advice, I'd love to learn a little bit more about yourself, the firm, and really what the mission is of Haas Financial Group.
Yeah, appreciate the invite. Haas Financial Group, we've been independent for 11, 12 years now. Small team, three of us working on four. Yeah. But really, I think financial planning is just the lifeblood of who we are. So I know that'll be topic of conversation today. And planning can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. A lot of different advisors do it different ways. I mean, you hinted at it.
Yeah.
What maybe makes us a little different is the way that we've developed a process around what we call the human side of advising, behavioral finance.
Yeah.
And really, that's just philosophically for us, money's just a tool, right, to live the life that you want to live. So if as an advisor, that's what you believe in, there is something beyond just building wealth for clients. We look at that as it's fulfillment, right? They need to live fulfilled lives and money needs to serve that purpose. So we've really shifted the way that we think and feel about these things, and we can get into that. But that really is the philosophy. And when you have that as the philosophy, it changes conversations.
For sure, right? And I think we've gone back and forth quite a bit, really over the past year, on how we were going to really discuss this, right? And we want to see a little bit more of this within the GVA network. And with what you've done at your firm and how you've built this out, I don't think necessarily we're going to go into the how,
sure,
but we're going to definitely go into the why, right?
Yeah.
And so that philosophy of why we do this, right? That's going to be a big point of this. Also, how are you defining the success of why you're doing this? So maybe give us a little bit of color around that and why and really how you're defining that success when working with clients.
Yeah, great question. I think advisors probably just, you get into the business and maybe it's because you like numbers, but ultimately you like helping people.
Yeah.
And I think more and more these last couple of years, advisors are probably seeing it. There is the emotional side to money, right? And that just means we have to pay attention to a lot of inputs that are not financial inputs, right? Simple things. If you ask a client, like, why does money matter to you? You're going to get some pretty normal answers, right? They want freedom of time. They want less stress from work. I mean, what would you say? Experiences with friends and family.
Absolutely.
I want my grandkids to. Yes, you got it.
Yeah.
That is far more informative than I want to retire at 65.
Yeah.
Right. So the process then has to center back on how am I getting these inputs? I'm asking better questions. I'm now maybe a little bit more vested in a role as an advocate, I'll say, than advisor. I'm not just telling people what to do. Like, I'm judging success by their ability to actually take advice and put it into action.
Yeah.
And statistics show that people are not very good at that. So we want to define success by, can we get them to that point where there's implementation? And ultimately, right, maybe it sounds fluffy, but are they living a more fulfilled life because of the process that we put in place for them?
Yeah. And I think by being able to work with the client, by being able to talk to them about this and just digging a little deeper, right? I mean, because ultimately what you're doing throughout that planning process is you're digging deeper and you're learning areas of focus that you may not uncover through the normal process of financial planning, right? And so when you say living a more fulfilled life, do you have any examples or any obviously real life situations where you said, you know, the client has come to you or you've noticed or you've had that experience and you're like, man, this feels good, right? This feels good. Or, or that client says, man, it's just been awesome working with you, right? So love to hear a little bit more about maybe like a real life example of that.
I think we can use market volatility right now. How about we lean there, right?
That's a great place to start.
There is this big disconnect, and I think clients need it, and I can say that we see this because they're not able to implement advice. And during market volatility, it's really hard to stay invested. Like, we as human creatures don't want to go through volatility, whether we tell you we are accepting of risk or not, right? If I see a bus coming at me, I'm going to want to get out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So there are things that we can do within a process before those things happen to make sure that we are adjusting the way that we communicate during those moments, right? Seeking to understand what they're really worried about is an important first step. It's not, hey, we just need to stay diversified. Look, I can show you all these graphs of market volatility. The market always goes up. We have to be able to anchor back on their why. Why did they say money was important to them?
Yeah.
Because why do they want to sell out in times of market stress? Because they're actually thinking, does that mean I can't do this vacation next summer? Does this mean I can't retire when I want to retire, right? Their why.
Yeah.
So it's really important, and we would kind of judge success. You know, if everybody's out there keeping their clients in the market right now, like, that's success.
Absolutely. Right?
We need to make sure that we're helping them through the emotional times. And that just takes, again, a little bit of a different conversation, but looking at your role a little bit differently.
And so this in-depth financial planning that you and your team are doing and how you're working with clients, without going into too much detail, let's just jump into that human side, right? Mm-hmm. And how that differs, like, from the normal financial planning process, right? So psychology, behavioral, there's a lot of it, right? And education components and reiterating this to clients, right? And financial planning in general is extremely important throughout working with clients.
Sure.
And I just want to keep hammering home the human side, the behavioral side, right, and what that really means in the financial planning process.
Two things come to mind.
Okay.
First, when you're focused on outcomes, like, let's use the stat, 70% of clients only enact 20% of advice. Like, that's failing.
Yeah.
And it's not just in our industry. Like, this is prevalent, right? Mm-hmm. People don't, they go to the doctor, they get a prescription, and 50% of people don't take it.
Oh, they don't pick it up.
They don't pick it up. Yeah. There's something that is in between, I know what to do, and actually getting it done, right? So when I grew up in planning was 60-page books that probably sat on a shelf and collected dust.
Oh, yeah.
Right? What is a plan? A plan is we're working through what really needs to happen, right? That's why we're good technicians. But then it can be as simple as, here's the next steps table, right? What needs to get done? Why are we doing it, right? Going back to the purpose, why does this matter to them?
Why does it?
Who's going to do it and by when? And then there's accountability to that process, right? It's another stat. This is the second thing that came to mind. It's what they want, right? People want better outcomes. And yes, we maybe can be Oz behind the curtain with investments, but a lot of what needs to happen to get them to where they need to get to is not things that we can do for them. It's things they need to do for themselves. And this is where, you know, kind of bring financial planning back to the human side. Another study shows that 82% of clients that are surveyed say the most important skill that their advisor has is their interpersonal skills.
Wow.
Right? Their ability to communicate.
Yeah.
It's not their technical skills. It's not the use of a calculator. It's not their designations, their products, their services, right? It's their ability to help somebody, right? You heard me, you understood me, you know what I need, and you're communicating in a way that's helping me work through times of transition, work through difficult things, and get things done.
Yeah, and it's that sounding board, quite frankly, too, right? So, and you feel more confident. The more you know, right, the more you understand what's happening, the more that you dive into that, as a client of an advisor doing this, I truly feel like you feel more confident, right? And you know more, and you can say, hey, if I have an issue, I'm calling Ben, right? And
he's
and
my guy.
He's my guy. Yeah. And that's important, or someone on the team, right? And that is where that educational component of it is so important, and reiterating that to your clients and around that.
You talk to advisors all the time.
Yep.
If you ask them, who are my best clients? Yep. The knee-jerk reaction is not the ones that have the most money or they're paying the most fees.
Yep.
They're going to tell you it's the best relationships that they have, right? It's the people they would call friends. Like the relationship is not just advisor to client. There's something more there. It's a deeper understanding. You know each other. You know how each other thinks, feels. There's not as much friction, right? So why not take that kind of thought process? It's good for them. It's good for me. And build your business around that.
I think that's a great point. And when you say building your business, this is, I want to ask this question before we go into learning more about what you like to do outside of Haas Financial Group. But
Sure. Before
we get to that part, when you are meeting with clients, when you have maybe a prospect as an advisor who is so focused on the human side of advice and is so focused on behavioral finance and financial planning in general, take me through the thought process on if someone just says, hey, I just want to beat the S&P, or hey, I just want to, you know, beat the stock market, or what's going on in the markets. Like, do you make a decision on maybe that's not the right fit for the firm?
Yeah.
You have to, right? I mean, there has to be that element of defining who the perfect client would be in your eyes and to make them most successful as well to working with you, right? I mean, there has to be that 100%. Level, right?
Yep. Yeah. We're not the right fit for everybody. And some of this, again, philosophically where I believe the industry is going, right? Yeah. It used to be products. It used to then be, you can't just have products, you have to have great service.
Yep.
I think we've moved beyond that. Right? Because that's commoditized. If that person just wants to beat the S&P 500, AI can do that.
Yep.
Robo platform can do that. Right? If it's providing an experience, if it's truly believing that I can help them become a better version of themselves, right? You've got a business coach. I've got a life coach, business coach. Why do you do that? I want to be a better version of myself.
Yep.
And there's value for me paying for that partnership, for that accountability, because that's going to get me to where I want to get to. So that's where, you know, early on in the process, we've adapted a lot of our process, and it's not to say that everybody has to do this, but yeah, that initial prospect meeting is, why are you calling? Why'd you reach out?
Yeah.
Like, what's most important to you? Well, we got to start there.
Yeah.
To make sure that we're the right fit.
And I think that there may be another podcast behind this one to talk a little bit deeper into that piece of the process, right? On how you are clearly identifying the right client to be working with, right?
Sure.
How that client is clearly looking at Ben Haas and saying, hey, is this the right advisor I should be working with,
100%.
Right? And if that doesn't click, long-term, it's not going to work out, right?
You know,
and that's huge to have that happen early on versus down the line.
Right, because if you're always selling yourself and your business to them, then there's going to be friction at some point.
At some point, that's what's going to happen.
And that, you know, at this point in my career, like, you just kind of want to avoid that. It's, you know, it's no different than dating.
Yeah.
I've been out of that scene for a long time. You have too. Right, if you find out early on that this isn't going to work, then better to know now than later.
Yeah, and okay, so great discussion around human side of advice. But now, let's let our listeners, our viewers understand a little bit more about yourself outside of doing what you love and doing what you do. What do you enjoy?
Got my hands in a lot of things. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You know, when you got three kids and on my end, you got more on your plate than me.
Yeah.
You know, you get busy, but you get involved in things, involved in the community. Help coach youth sports is a big thing. You know, we're glorified Uber drivers at this point, but when I get me time, I like building things.
Really?
Yeah. Something probably a lot of people don't know about me. We're on year four of just finishing the basement because I want to do it myself. I like woodworking. It's my quiet time. I guess it checks out, right? Math brain, tedious.
I don't think that's far off from what I would have, you know, I think that's pretty much in line. I would expect that.
That's my quiet space.
Nice.
Got a TV out there. Watch a little Phillies while it's happening, right?
Yeah. Big Phils fan. Hopefully you have a good season here.
You got it.
So, anyway, well, Ben, thank you for joining me on the GVA.
Appreciate this, yeah.
Yeah, this is great. And I think a lot of our viewers will really appreciate what we spoke about and hopefully reach out to you if they have any more questions around it.
Sounds great. Happy to help.
Thank you. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.